You're listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you're a fan of any style of romantic comedy, whether early 2000s, 90s, maybe further back. These are my favorite areas, so I'm going to talk about those. You know the plots, many of these plots have something that have to do with the power of a hidden identity. Power of a hidden identity. Some of us, someone wants to get to know someone, someone disguises who they are, or unexpectedly fall into a position where someone thinks they're someone else, and a budding romance ensues. And something happens. There's two of these movies that I really like that I'll mention right now. Maybe you've seen Mrs. Doubtfire in 1993. Yes, good. Thank you. I'm getting some nods. Robin Williams disguises himself. It is a wacky, wacky plot. As an elderly British nanny to spend time with his kids after a recent divorce. And it goes, all things considered, pretty well. It's one of my, I really like this film. Or maybe you've seen How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, another one of my favorites. A young Matthew McConaughey, Kate Hudson. McConaughey before he's on the whiskey commercials, like before he was kind of thought of as this gentleman, rather. But Matthew McConaughey, regardless. She's trying to drive a man away, and he's made a bet that he can get someone to love him in 10 days or date him, fall in love with him for a bet. And what could possibly go wrong? It's a great movie. I really like it. But this identity is in both. Robin Williams hiding his identity, dressing up as a nanny every day to see his children, and Kate Hudson and Matthew McConaughey hiding their own identities and characters in the film as they're trying to do something with one another. And at some point in all of these plots, at some point in all of these movies, something happens, and there's a realization of who someone really is. And these movies connect with us, I think, because we are so often trying to figure out if who we're talking to is the person that they say they are. And they're trying to figure out if who they're talking to, us, we are the people that we say we are. We are wanting to know people around us, and we are wanting to be known. There are times when we don't want to be known, though, where we don't want to be seen. Perhaps if you are binging Love Island at full volume and your neighbor can hear, yeah, like maybe not then, maybe not when you go to the fridge for your little sweet treat at night and you end up eating like half a gallon of ice cream. Maybe you've been there, maybe not. Sounds like you haven't been there. So I'll confess that when we get there in the service. Maybe when you realize that little piece of spinach has been on your front teeth for 5 hours and no one said anything. You don't want to be seen then. But we do want to be known. We do want to know others as well. We live for these moments where this tension is released, when the masks come off, when the identities are resolved, and when we know who we're talking to. We want to be known. We want to be seen. We want to have a genuine connection with other people. If you've fallen in love, if you've been a part of a long-standing community theater group, or if you've watched football in the same place at Chili's for a couple weeks in a row, you'll start to realize these communities pop up and show up, and we're drawn to them. Maybe it's why you're here today. Maybe you feel seen here and taken care of here, and you know someone else that's here today. We also want to know God. It's something that shows up in all of our readings. Nearly, you could make the argument every Sunday, the writers of the Bible, these people that are putting pen to parchment, to paper, to all of the things, they are wanting to know God too. It is in the Old Testament. It is in the New Testament. Who is this God? What does God want with us? And can I trust what this God is saying? These are the questions that get repeated in so many different ways. And one of those ways that it gets repeated and comes up is today in our Hebrews reading, in the letter to the Hebrews. Calling this book a letter is a bit of a stretch. It's more of a sermon. You can think of it as a sermon, but I'll keep calling it a letter. This is just my own little nitpickiness about some of these misnomers that show up. Think of it more as a sermon. This letter of Hebrews is called the letter to the Hebrews for its content more than anything else. The writer is so familiar with the Hebrew Bible, is so familiar with the Hebrew Bible translated into Greek, which we call the Septuagint, but he is so interested in these callbacks, in connecting who this God is after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ with the God that is in the Hebrew Bible. Like, these are things that the author of Hebrews cares about, is like making that connection. The people that are reading this sermon, this letter, are likely familiar with the text too. They're probably Jewish or have been at some point and are starting to follow Jesus, but all of them know Greek as well. The author of Hebrews picks up on this concept that is peppered throughout the Old Testament. He starts talking about the Word of God. Maybe you've heard the Word of God before in some contexts. You hear at the end of our readings the Word of the Lord, which is a similar phrasing. The Word of the Lord, thanks be to God. It's something that comes up again and again, not just here, but in our Bibles as well. There's this deep, deep well in the biblical tradition that talks about the Word of the Lord in the prophets in the Old Testament, in Amos, in Kings, in Micah, Joel, and Isaiah all start within the first chapter talking about the Word of the Lord. And it shows up in the New Testament as well. Most famously, you probably know, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. This phrase sits at the center of this reading that we have from Hebrews, the Word of God. And I'm still in the first verse of our reading, so don't worry, it's not going to, we'll shorten it up, don't worry, but if you're worried about that. This Word of God is equated with God's speech and the person of God, who God is, you know, like I was talking about, how we want to get to know God. Who God says God is, and who God is, for the writer of Hebrews and in other parts of the Bible, are not two separate things, but are the same thing. We know God because God has said things to us. The Word of God is equated with life, and it is associated with who God is. Life and light. Life and light is living and active in verse 12. It says it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the sharpest sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This word is alive, it is active, it is sharp, and it cuts into interior places, cutting into the parts of us that we keep hidden. The Word of God, the Word of the Lord, and then Jesus, who is the Word of God. This writer and so many writers lean into this ambiguity. Are we talking about a word here, or are we talking about Jesus? Many scholars debate these things, and I don't want to today, so I'm not going to. But here's how I'm reading it. The writer of Hebrews knows who Jesus is. He's about to talk about Jesus as a great high priest. And when he talks about this word that is a sword that cuts us to the heart, it is not cutting us in a way to hurt us. It is cutting us in a way to open us up and to acknowledge the fact that the thing that we already know but we pretend we don't know is that God knows intricately who we are. God knows all of the things about me and about you. And when we come into this place and when we gather here, we think about that, or we try to not think about it. Verse 13 says, "Before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account." There's a reading here that can be read more as lifting up your throat to someone else. That's kind of the idea. You are standing before God, and we are in front of him, laid bare in front of God. And it sounds ominous. It sounds really scary at this point in the reading. What is this God going to do? To whom we must render an account. Sounds a little heavy. But then the author says Jesus, this great high priest, knows who we are and knows our weaknesses, knowing them in the way that he knows our hearts, this sharp sword word of God, knowing them in how Jesus Christ, who lived as a human, died as a human as well and has all of the decisions that we have, but makes the right ones, i.e. trusting God. There is life in the interior. What is laid bare before the Creator, what is laid bare before the Creator is ourselves. We have this prayer that we said to you heard me pray it at the very beginning of service. I want to read it again to you. It's the Collect for Purity. It's at the front of your bulletin. And it says this: Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. I think, in general, I'm catching myself up with where I'm at the service, and I just kind of get to read that, and maybe it just washes over you too. But I am thinking about it in this way this morning. It's like, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. It's like he gets closer and closer and closer, God intimately knowing who we are and all of the things that we have done in secret and not in secret is laid bare before God. If anyone else said that to me, if anyone caught me in the HEB parking lot and said, your heart is open, all desires are known to me, and from me no secret. That's the kind of thing you walk away. That's a crazy thing to say. That's a thing that a crazy person says. And we say it. Every Sunday we say it. What should be, and what often is, for a lot of people, a moment of dread fear, God knows me, shoot, is met with a word, the word of God, that sees you for who you are, cares for you, and meets you with mercy and grace, as it says in verse 16 of our reading today. The good news that sits here is that Christ Jesus, who is our high priest, is the one that we can approach. And in reaching us at our most interior of places and knowing the things about ourselves that we hide, that we put on as armor in front of other people, is able to open us up to the mercy and the grace that Christ brings to our world. You heard it today in the parable, or not the parable, it's a story about the rich young ruler who comes before Jesus and he says, I have these things, I've kept the law, I'm wearing my armor, I'm doing what is right. And Jesus tells him to go sell everything. And it is not a story that is meant, it is not a story that is meant for us to feel down about that. I like my money. You like your money too, probably. And this, the end of this story, though, in talking with his disciples, Jesus says, no one is able to do this thing. No one is able to do what I just told this man. No one can get to heaven without God. No one can do anything without the help of God. And that's the word of God cutting into the most interior of places, cutting into the places that we protect the most, that we hide the most, and opening us up to hear something from God, opening us up to hear a word from the Lord. At some point, all of our disguises melt away. At some point, all of our armor falls off. You get caught, or you mess up. You get fired, you get incredibly anxious about not being known, you decide to get behind the wheel when you know you've had too much. At some point, it will happen. You feel like you're in a disguise because if people knew you, if they knew the real you, what would they do? Would they ridicule you? Would they not take you seriously? Would they move to the side and look past you? This word of God that is sharp, that cuts to the heart of us, that opens us up to be able to hear God, that sees us at our most interior and protected spaces, is not a cut to bleed, is not a way for God to hurt you, but a way to bring light to our darkness, a way to open up our hidden worlds, a way to access our frightening spaces that all of us carry. Thanks be to God that the Word of God can cut us to the heart through the bread and through the wine and through the waters of baptism. Thanks be to God that God opens our inner parts, lays us bare, looks at us, looks at you, truly looks at you, and embraces you with mercy and offers you grace in your time of need. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.